Welcome each of you to the service today on behalf of the family. We've gathered to worship the Lord. We've also gathered to remember and consider the life of our wife and mother, grandmother, aunt, to me, a sister, Sister Martha. If Martha were here this morning, I don't think that she would desire that we would spend a lot of time thinking about her, but that with her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I think we will endeavor to do that this morning. We extend our sympathy to you, Brother Doug, to Mark and Matthew as well during this time of loss. And I just want to especially recognize Sister Frieda for your many hours that you spent and the love that you showed and the care that you gave Martha and Doug over the past number of years. If you look in the back of your program, you'll see some life verses of Sister Martha, and I would like to briefly consider the first one this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I thought this fit in at least what I thought of when I thought of Martha. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I would like to read verses 2 through 5. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abounded in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. God, through the aid of his Holy Spirit and through the work of Jesus Christ, as we give ourselves to him, comforts us, it says, in our troubles, in our sufferings, and then we can, in turn, comfort others. And Martha had, maybe we would say, her fair share of sufferings and disappointments and trials in life, and she was a good comforter. She was concerned about me, about many of you. And it was already mentioned downstairs that Sister Martha was a prayer warrior. A couple times in my life when I needed prayer, I called Sister Martha. And I know that Martha and Doug spent a lot of time praying for their family, for their church family as well. And I thought, well, what should we do with that? Let us take up that challenge to pray more, be better prayer warriors for the ones, especially ones that are facing struggles. And in that way, we can bring comfort, as this verse says. The family asked me to share about this picture on the front of your bulletin. That picture was taken the evening, after Sister Martha passed away. I was privileged to be there when the funeral directors came for her body, and about 70 of us sang the song Just Over Yonder, and that was just a little bit before this picture was taken of the sunset, of this beautiful sunset. Let us bow our heads for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to meet like this and consider the life of Sister Martha and be challenged from your word, be challenged in the lives that we are to live if we are to see you someday. And I just pray that you would be present here, you would be with each one that has part, and you would be with each one present, that we could be drawn closer to you. Be especially with the family. Pray that you would provide comfort for them thank you that you have promised to give us comfort when we need it. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. good morning to each one of you. Greetings in our precious Savior's name. We come here today not to eulogize a sister, but to glorify the Father and the Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And as Martha lived, we all knew her as Mom or Grandma or wife or Aunt Martha. Martha, she was a writer. She was a thinker. And she expressed herself, as has already been shared, whether it was an encouragement or an admonition or even as a prayer, warrior, concern, request. We will miss Martha, her encouragement, her prayers, and even her admonitions. We will miss that. Over the years, as we have shared with Martha, it's been a blessing to get to know Doug and Martha, and to Doug, Matthew, Mark, and the rest of the family, you have our sympathy. And to those that are extended family as well, you have our sympathy. But Martha, in her mind and body, she looked forward to something down the road, as each one of us do. And you know, we see this body that is here, but Martha's no longer present here. She is in the presence of the one that she loved, and we hope that as we live, we can pattern our lives after that, following in obedience. Did she have her struggles? Yes, as we all do. And yet, Christ was near and dear. Martha suggested this sermon a little while ago, and it's a message from John 14. And in Matthew 13, just prior to this, it was a very special evening that the disciples spent with Jesus. We call it the Last Supper, and Jesus ate with them. And he spoke with them. And then after that supper that we commemorate at communion, we see that he taught them the greatest lesson, and that was a lesson of service. And he bowed down and washed their feet. And when he was done, he sat down and he said, basically, in a nutshell, serve one another, love one another, as I have served you. Love one another, and people will know that you are my disciple if you love one another. And we show our love by serving. We show our devotion to Christ by living in obedience to his commands. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. But here in John 14, he starts off with, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You know, we can often sense when someone is hurting or struggling. And when Martha was struggling, she would sometimes share about her difficulties, that even in the past difficulties of life. But Martha knew that God was always present. And in spite of the struggles, one day these difficulties would be over, and that day has arrived for her. And we don't know what tomorrow may hold for each one of us, but we know that unless Jesus comes before that day, we will face similar circumstances. We are often troubled by the unknown. But if we believe, if we know that God the Father and Jesus the Son are there, he will comfort us in those times of trouble. Do you believe? Believing is more than just a personal acquaintance. Believing is more than acknowledging that someone exists. Believing is having an experience. It is you in that moment experiencing that. And in the next couple of verses, Jesus spoke of the facts and promises to come. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." What a promise that we have to look forward to. Jesus himself saying, "I'm going to build this mansion, this place for you, and then I'm coming to get you. I'm coming to receive you." And when we look at the description of that place in Revelation, the place that Jesus is preparing for those that believe, it's hard to imagine. And yet he gives us just a small glimpse of what he is preparing. Revelation 21. "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had seven vials full of the seven last plagues." This is Revelation 21, starting in verse 9. "And talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the 12 gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And on the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure that city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and its length, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs." That's 1,500 miles. "The length and the breadth and the height are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 140 cubits." That's 216 feet thick, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. "And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones." And it tells of each one of those precious stones. "And these stones symbolize enduring beauty." It symbolizes value. It symbolizes wealth. Are you looking forward to that city? "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gates was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved," mark that, "shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Do you believe? Is your name written there? Because if you believe and your name is written there, this is something that we have to look forward to. This is something that we can purpose in our hearts to live. It's an incredibly beautiful place. And these words written down, I think, are symbolic of yet something far, far greater than what we will ever be able to imagine. And it's prepared for you personally. It's prepared for me personally if we believe. And if our name is written in that book of life. Back to John 14. It says, "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." But Thomas, we know, very forthright person. And Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" Do you know the way? We know the way through the written word. We know the way through Jesus Christ. We know the way through that Spirit that leads us into everlasting life. And Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, but by me." And so we know through Jesus' words in this very passage that he was speaking to those precious friends of his. Special friends of his. "I am the way." Do you believe? We all look at this word and we say, "Well, sure, I believe what God says. I believe his word." But believing is more than just an intellectual assent. Believing is an experience with Christ. These men, these disciples that knew Jesus, they walked with him, they talked with him, they ate with him. Jesus washed their feet. These men physically knew Jesus. He was a close friend to each one, and to some even closer. He was more than just an acquaintance. But in verse 7 he says, "If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth ye know him and have seen me." And Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." And Jesus saith unto him, "I have been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, 'Show us the Father'? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." And Jesus was saying, if you see me, I am a representation of the Father. And you know, we hear sometimes when a child is born and they're growing up, "Oh, he looks just like his daddy. Or he acts just like his daddy." Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's not so good. But we know that Jesus acted like his Father. He portrayed his Father. He was the very essence of his Father. And he says, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me because I'm going to do what my Father is asking me to do." If you see me, you see him. We are one. And if you can't believe in what you see, believe the works that I do. And yet, people missed him. The religious leaders missed him because of their preconceived ideas. Do you believe? Is it an intellectual assent, or is it an experience? Because it is by the experience that we really know Jesus. Verse 12 of chapter 14 of John. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. That means if you are a follower of Christ, you will do what Jesus is doing. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He was saying, if you believe in me, wash one another's feet. Serve one another. Minister to one another. Love one another. Because God will enable you to do that. And much greater things. And these things will be for his glory, not for yours, not for mine, for anyone else, or for anyone else's, but for God the Father, Christ the Son, that is who we should glorify. Jesus went on to say, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. We show our love, we show our devotion by keeping his commandments. Or when our children are growing up and we ask them to do something, we can tell that they love us by their obedience, by their willingness, by their service. And likewise, people can tell of our love for Christ and for one another by our obedience, by our service, by our actions. We live in a world of believe and receive. The end. But for Scripture, it's not just the believe and receive, but it is keeping his commandments. It is going on to live a life of obedience in keeping his commandments. It is more than just intellectual assent, but it's an experience. It's an experience that changes our lives. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, and neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And I want you to think about these disciples, these close friends of Jesus. At that supper, when Jesus said he would suffer, they said, no, I will go to death. I will go to the end. I will go to whatever. And Jesus told them, it's not going to happen. Because before the cock crows, there will be a denial of three, and all will flee. There will be a denial of you three times, of me three times. And we see at that garden scene, when those soldiers came to arrest Jesus, those close friends, those close disciples, that close-knit group that was a part of Jesus, they fled. They ran away. But when these men and women saw Jesus after he rose from the grave, when they were empowered by the Holy Spirit, when they had an experience with Jesus, it changed their life. It changed the way other people viewed them. In Acts 4, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And so my question to you again, have you been with Jesus? Do people know that you have been with Jesus? Have you had an experience with Jesus Christ? Or is it just an intellectual knowledge? That when tough times come, we flee. If we have had an experience with Jesus, we are going to be there during the tough times. We are going to be there in the fearful times. We are going to be there maybe even at the time where God calls us home through suffering, through pain. Verse 20 of John 14, "At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." We believe, we receive, and then we keep his commandments. We live in obedience. We follow after. We follow after. "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." And he is basically saying, for those of us, for those in this world that claim the name of Jesus Christ, we will live in obedience to God and his word. We will practice serving others. We will love one another. "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings." Where are you? Where am I? And then he says, "I will come and live with you." Is Jesus at home in your heart with you? The last several verses. "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Have you experienced Christ? If you have experienced Christ, you will experience this peace. You will experience this comfort. You will experience this Holy Spirit that teaches us all things. And this Spirit has come in Jesus' name. That Spirit is here today. That Spirit has guided saints throughout the centuries. And he will continue to guide God's children until Jesus comes again. And so that invitation is open to all who will believe, all who will receive, and then all who will live in obedience to Christ and his word. May we follow after, not the failings of a natural man, woman here. May we follow after a faith example for each one, that we may live a life of obedience, that we may live a life of love, that we can live a life of service. May we believe. God bless you.
I hear the Savior say, Jesus, Savior of all.
want to say amen to the preaching of God's word. I believe if Martha was here today, she would say amen too. And that was her desire, is that everyone that she came in contact would believe and receive and obey God's word. She had a passion for that. And I was thinking about the life of Martha. There was some things that I thought about that she really cared deeply for. And one of those was people. People in her lives, her children, her grandchildren, her church family, and visitors that came to church. If you came to Bethany, she wanted to meet you, and she wanted your name, and she wanted to know where you were from. And if your desire was to get your name in the budget, come to Bethany. She would make sure it got in the budget. She cared about people. She also cared about preaching. I wonder how many sermons Martha listened to in her life. She listened to many, many sermons, and she cared about truth going out. She cared deeply about truth. She wanted to see the preaching of God's word, and she blessed preachers, and she encouraged us as preachers. And the last thing that I thought of she cared deeply about was problems. When there were problems, when there were things, she felt them deeply. She cared deeply when there was strife or there was problems. She felt them deeply. But you know, Martha was limited. She couldn't just go everywhere she wanted to go. She had a body that was limited. But God gave her some tools that equipped her to serve her generation. One of those was a power chair. She used that chair to just go around. I don't remember when she could actually walk with her crutches, but after she got older, she got a power chair, and I understand her and Doug would go zipping around Dayton all over the place with that power chair, and she used that power chair as a blessing. She also had another tool, and it was a phone. She, wherever she was at, she had a phone, and she would use that phone to call people and encourage them, and she just stayed connected with so many people in so many places with her phone. She also had another tool, a pen. She would write. She loved to write. She wrote a book. She wrote letters. I wonder how many of you have a letter from Martha. This was one she wrote to us. It says, Wednesday, 8 a.m. Dear Robert and Lori, continue to deeply study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And then she wrote at the bottom, this came to me in the night for you, in Christian love, your spiritual mother, Martha Shake. And it's just in her shaky handwriting, but that's a precious letter to me. She used her pen to encourage the saints. And the last thing, and we've already heard of this, she had the tool of prayer. Martha prayed much for her family, for her church family, for all of us, I believe. She cared deeply, and she used those tools to bless our generation. This time, I want to read the obituary. Martha B. Yoder Shank, 89, a resident of Dayton, passed away on Monday, February 26, at 2024, at Mountain View Nursing Home in Aroto, Virginia. Martha was born on August 20, 1934, in Floridale, Ontario, and was a daughter of the late Isaiah G. Bauman and Hetty Martin Bauman Weaver. After losing her father at age 4, her family moved from Canada to Maryland. At age of 18, she contracted polio. This, however, did not stop her from pursuing a nursing degree. She earned her associate degree and worked as a licensed practical nurse at the Virginia Mennonite Retirement Community. She was a member of Bethany Mennonite Church. She also volunteered for Gospel Sunrise Tape and Track Ministry for about 25 years. She loved writing and was a scribe for the budget for nearly 25 years as well. On March 26, 1966, she married Melvin C. Yoder, who preceded her in death on November 7, 1999. On June 14, 2001, she married Douglas H. Shank, who survives. Also surviving are her children, M. Mark Yoder, wife Frida, of Dayton, and Matthew M. Yoder, wife Doris, of Hutchinson, Kansas. Grandchildren, Samantha, Sarah Lynn, Preston, wife Abby, Trevor, wife Tessa, Janetta, Victoria, and Gabriel Yoder. Also surviving are three great-grandchildren, Aspen, Caleb, and Chase Yoder. In addition to her first husband and parents, Martha was preceded in death by her siblings Doris Streit, Malin Bauman, Mary Myers, and Leonard Bauman. Here's a note from the family. The family would like to express their gratitude for your prayers and support through this time. Following the burial and at the graveside, they're planning to bring Brother Doug into the basement. And if you would like to meet Brother Doug, come on back into the basement and meet him there. Not planning to keep him out by the graveside long after the service. Also, there is a meal provided in the basement for family and friends from afar. So I want you to feel welcome to stay for that. At this time, if you're able, I invite you to stand for a prayer. Father, as we come to the end of this service, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for the preaching of your word, and we thank you for the way of salvation through Christ. Thank you that you have made a way for our sins to be washed away through the blood of Jesus. And thank you for the life and testimony of Martha. And thank you for her many acts of service to the church through her prayers, through her encouragement, through her words of admonition. And Lord, we pray that you would just be with Brother Doug and Matthew and Mark and their families, just be with them and comfort them, and as they grieve the passing of Sister Martha, we pray that your comforting spirit would be with them. So, Father, we desire that the continuation of this service would be for your name's honor and glory. Father, we also want to pray for the meal that will be following. We pray your blessing on the food. We pray your blessing on the cooks that have provided the meal. We pray that you would just give us strength to use the sustenance to go forth and serve you and honor you. So bless us and keep us as we go from here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We'll have one more closing song and then turn it over to the funeral director. If I want-